Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
And welcome to Atlanta Life Radio Presents, There's Life After Layoff. Join our conversation with our show host, Allie, and Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion and or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or web talk radio agents shall be held liable for the content of programs, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this web talk radio program. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal, a pad, or a piece of paper, so you can jot down notes as you join in our journey this evening. And I want you to help me in a big virtual applause as I welcome our show host, Allie, on air. But I also want to say tonight is a very, very special show as we have an extended show until 8:30 this evening. And Allie will explain a little bit more of what that entails. And now I present Allie. Allie.
Hello and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my regular co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward Porter, the founder of Elise Psychological Services, and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders. It is always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. You can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to follow us on Twitter. You will find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio tweeting at ALR Radio. On behalf of Doc and myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Now, last week, if you recall, we had Doc back with us on air, and we were also blessed to be joined by a very special guest, world-renowned naturopathic healer, Dr. Shea, who blessed us with lots of knowledge and lots of wisdom about taking a more holistic approach towards healing, but most importantly, Dr. Shea talked about how we can help to heal ourselves. So for those of you who tuned in, you will have to agree with me that it was a very powerful, powerful show. But if you did happen to miss it, you can also tune in to check it out on iTunes through the ALR website. So while we were blessed to have Doc back with us live on air last week, tonight during our first segment, I will be joined by our executive producer, Mel D, as my co-host, as we deal with the dangers of inappropriate use of pharmaceuticals. And we will be joined by a very special guest expert tonight, Dr. Michelle Butler. So, I want to take this time to truly thank you, Mel D, for joining me tonight.
Allie, I have to tell you, I thoroughly have enjoyed the summer series coming on air, and tonight's show is dear to my heart for several reasons, which I'll share with our listeners shortly, but thank you.
Thank you again, Mel D. Before we actually get started, and as you mentioned earlier at the top of the show, I want to take a brief moment to make the announcement that tonight's show will be an extended episode. So Mel D and I urge you to continue to tune in past the 8 o'clock hour when you will be blessed to hear a special interview with none other than Bishop T.D. Jakes. Yes, that's right. You heard me correctly. Through our partnership with the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival, we have been given the honor and opportunity to present to you an interview with Bishop Jakes. Now, in addition to the interview, we will also be joined by the founder and CEO of the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival, Miss Audrey Thomas. So during the extended segment, guess what? Doc will be on air with us as well to share a few brief comments. And so we urge you, please don't go anywhere at 8 o'clock, and please stay tuned. And we are so excited about this opportunity to hear from Bishop Jakes. So as we keep it moving tonight, as I mentioned, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the ALR website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And it's so easy for you to do that because we have all of our past recorded shows uploaded on an automatic player box on the programming page. All you have to do is click on the show that you want to listen to, and it will start playing for you automatically. That's really easy. And we are also, as I mentioned, on iTunes. So all you have to do is go to iTunes, search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you will find us. And all of our past recorded shows are available for you to listen to right now. And after tonight's live show, you will be able to upload it about an hour or so, maybe sooner, after it airs. So while I'm talking about catching up on past episodes, I thought that this would also be a good time for me to extend another congratulations to civil rights living legend Dr. C.T. Vivian for being selected to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom. We were honored to have interviewed Dr. Vivian back in February, and you can catch that particular interview on episode number 8 through the ALR website, and we urge you to do so. You will be blessed by it. And so we thank you for continuing to tune in. So I think, Mel D, we're ready to get started with the heart of the show, and I want to mention that last week, we, as I said earlier, we had the pleasure of hearing from world-renowned naturopathic doctor and healer, Dr. Shay, about releasing your faith towards healing and about taking a more holistic approach towards healing. Now, we know that not everybody is going to be comfortable with that approach or even open-minded towards that type of approach. And so, you know, that's okay. You have to be comfortable with whatever approach you choose. So we understand that. So it is for that reason that we decided to present the other side of the spectrum and talk about the dangers of inappropriate use of pharmaceuticals tonight. We think we have a responsibility to at least present the information to you, and you make your own decisions. And like I said, you have to be comfortable. So this leads me to ask you, Mel D., why is this such an important topic for us to talk about tonight?
Well, as we have been doing different topics on this show and hearing from our listening audience, we hear a lot of despair. We hear a lot of depression. We hear a lot of people who are searching for answers. Mm-hmm. And with that, we do know that we have more and more people who are participating in drinking alcohol,
mm-hmm.
who are also drinking a lot of energy drinks, doing some natural herbal things or home remedies, and then also mixing it with prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And every night on the news, we're hearing about a young person who has overdosed from mm-hmm. prescription drugs, not illegal drugs. Prescription
right.
drugs.
Right.
So I just felt it was our responsibility to kind of discuss this topic, and I had the distinct honor and pleasure of meeting Dr. Michelle Butler, and we just started having a conversation that led us to this very topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, hold it, we're going to ask her to come on the show. We're going to save it for the radio because the dialogue
right.
is a dialogue that needs to occur, and we need to break it down for people so they understand how you can self-medicate yourself to a point where you overdose, and you may not
right.
even realize it. So
right.
and then the other part of the spectrum is a lot of older adults We used to work with a lot of seniors and senior centers, and we used to have what we call Brown Bag Medication Day, where we would tell all the seniors just to put all of their medications, even the ones over the drug counter, and put them in a brown bag, and then we would have pharmacy students or pharmacists come and look at that and kind of show and explain how mixing cocktails, not deliberately, but mixing these prescription medication cocktails, why they were lethargic and why they were having problems stabilizing blood pressure.
Okay.
So this is a topic that goes across the age spectrum, and I'm just looking forward to the dialogue. So hope I answered
your question. Oh, yeah, you did, and then some.
Yes.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I actually met our guest tonight through her relationship and friendship with Doc. And, you know, we actually worked together on helping to plan something for Doc before she got married. And I'm going to honestly say that she is one of the most genuinely warm people that you would ever want to meet. And I think I said that to you after I met her. I want our guest to have the pleasure of telling you a little bit about herself, but I will say that she received her doctorate in pharmacy from Mercer University's Southern School of Pharmacy in 1999 and is currently the clinical assistant professor at Mercer University College of Pharmacy here in Atlanta. So it is certainly without further ado that I welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Dr. Michelle Butler. Thank you for joining us tonight, Dr. Michelle.
Thank you so much, Allie and Mel. It is a pleasure to be with you guys tonight.
Thank you. This conversation, I know, is going to be powerful and provide a lot of helpful information for those listening. Now, before we get into the heart of our conversation, as I mentioned, can you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, and including your background and experience as a pharmacist?
Yes. As you mentioned, I graduated from Mercer University maybe about 14 years ago, and after graduation, I have this thirst for knowledge, so I decided to do a drug information residency where I worked in the pharmaceutical industry for several years, and then kind of when things changed with the pharmaceutical industry, I went into community practice.
Mm-hmm.
And in community practice, I worked for Target for several years. And then just by almost a fluke, I call it, but it really was God calling, there was an opportunity that opened at Mercer University that I found out about. And having it been my alma mater, you know, I thought, oh, my gosh, why not go and give back? Because perfectly honest, what I had seen in the graduates since my graduation was a little puzzling to me.
Mm-hmm.
There were pharmacists being graduated that really did not have the heart for the people.
Wow.
And, you know, it was disturbing to me, and I really wanted to go inside the walls to find out exactly what are we doing to graduate these people who don't have a heart for others.
Oh, wow.
So by coming inside the walls, you know, I've been able to really create relationships with students and kind of put my thumbprint, you know, in academia and discuss with the students that are really, really interested, how do we really make the best impact in the communities in which we practice?
Wow, that's good because, like you said, you in that particular field, you really should have a heart for the people that you're working with. I mean, the medicine and pharmaceuticals that are being dispersed, how can you not care about the people you're giving them to?
Exactly.
So that's interesting. But I wanted to ask you, why did you decide to become a pharmacist?
You know, that's an even greater question, Allie. As a teenager, I actually was given a medication that caused such severe side effects, I almost lost my vision.
Really?
And after several surgeries and procedures, just as a result of a medication. And, you know, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, when drugs are approved by the FDA and they're marketed, a lot of times when the drug is put in a larger population, mm-hmm. that's really when you get to see how that medicine really, truly interacts. And as a result of the side effect that I had with this medication, I actually put that side effect, or not me myself, but the incident itself actually expanded the labeling to include a pseudotumor cerebri in that particular package labeling. You know, so long story short, really what sparked my interest is to find out what is it about medications that could potentially cause different side effects. And really what I've gone on to understand is people have a very different reaction to medications. Everybody is not going to respond to the same medication the exact same way.
Right.
And that was why I wanted to become a pharmacist, because unfortunately we are the drug experts. You know, no other profession goes through the depth of pharmacology and chemistry to really understand how a medication will impact the body and the disease or whatever it is that it's treating.
Right. Now, this is not one of something that I said that I was going to ask you, but this leads me to ask you this question, because tell me, do you feel a little disheartened? And I think I mentioned, Doc and I even talked about this in a previous show. We kind of jokingly mentioned it, where you see these commercials about all of these drugs and all of the different side effects that it has. Does that dishearten you a little bit? Because I was listening very closely last night to one of them, and I was cracking up, and I was like, oh, my goodness, who would take that? And
well, you know, not to cut you off, Allie, but what people don't understand is when a drug is going through the drug approval process,
mm-hmm.
if a person, whether or not that drug is related to the side effect,
mm-hmm.
the FDA requires you to put that in the package label.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So the drug may be used to treat depression, because I want to say it's most of the depression medications where, you know, if you're already feeling blue and then you hear that that particular medication can cause memory loss, hair loss, you know, forgetfulness and all these other things, and you're like, oh my gosh, why am I going to take the medicine? But quite frankly, the medication may not even cause those things, and it may just be something that was going on with the subjects that were in the clinical trials. But because they were in the clinical trials, that information has to be listed.
So I was also thinking that a lot of times they probably have to include majority of that to for lawsuits, you know, for legality reasons.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Okay, because we do live in a suing society.
That's true. That is true, yes.
Okay.
And it covers them, yes.
Exactly, right. So in your professional opinion, what do you see as one of the biggest dangers that you have come across with regards to the use of the inappropriate use of pharmaceuticals?
Well, it's kind of double-fold. You know, a lot of times when a patient goes to their doctor and the doctor prescribes a certain medication, because the consumer doesn't dig a little bit deeper into, you know, asking the doctor specifics about a medication, because, again, when you check in with your doctor and they prescribe something, they may tell you a little bit about it or they may not, you know, and they leave it up to the pharmacist to discuss. But then if you go to a pharmacy, and this is not an excuse, but if you go to a pharmacy and they are filling 500 prescriptions a day,
right.
So when you're picking up your medication, yes, they're going to ask you if you have questions about the medication, but what consumer is going to know what questions to ask?
True.
So I start by saying one of the largest dangers is the consumer not asking questions and thinking, just because my doctor prescribed this medication, I'm just going to take it, and not getting the specifics on, should it be taken with food? Should it be taken on an empty stomach? Should it be taken at bedtime? Should it be taken with a full glass of water? Should it be taken and I avoid the sun? You know, because a lot of times, the side effects of the medications, because the consumer didn't know, is really what leads to negative consequences of the pharmaceutical in that particular patient. And then I think the other danger is the healthcare professional not really giving the consumer the information that they know they know that they don't have the background to ask.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. That almost goes hand in hand with what you were saying, the reason why you decided to work at Mercer is because, you know, does every doctor have the heart for the people they deal with?
Right.
Not everybody has good bedside manner.
That's
you
true.
Know, I've been blessed enough to find great doctors for my kids and you know, dentists and medical doctors, but not everybody is very personable and can relate. And like you said, they may not have the heart, and they may just be there, you know. So that's interesting. What are some of the major misconceptions that people have regarding over-the-counter medicine?
That's a really good question, because a lot of times, you know, when you're shopping at the grocery store or in the OTC section of, you know, a drugstore or what have you, a lot of times people think because it's available without a prescription, it is completely safe.
Right.
They won't necessarily read and adhere to the directions. Take Tylenol, for example. Tylenol, like Melinda mentioned, you know, if you drink alcohol, you take Tylenol, you mix Tylenol with other medications that could be cleared by the liver, then you're taxing your liver. And the negative consequence of that could be some sort of liver toxicity where you would end up needing a liver transplant.
Wow.
So just because the medication is available over the counter is not a consensus that that medication is safe without further instructions.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Related to that, I've seen a lot of over-the-counter medicine taken off the market related to children in recent years. What is your take on that and your opinion on that?
Well, a lot of those medications did contain Tylenol. You've got the cough and cold products.
Mm-hmm.
You've got pain relievers. You had the different dosage forms, infant formula versus pediatric versus children. And see, if those medications aren't titrated to the child, then those levels could be really, really toxic. And so a lot of the products have been removed to be relabeled so that, you know, if it's a little spoon that's in the package, that spoon has been calibrated so that the parent, or pretty much the parent, is able to easily tell what the measurement is to give to their child.
Okay.
So there's droppers, there's spoons. And, you know, if you see on the label a teaspoonful, well, if you go to any store to buy silverware, this teaspoon is going to be a different size.
Right.
So it's not an equivalent dose based on the teaspoon that you may use.
Ah, interesting.
So a lot of them have been removed for that fact, and then some of them have been removed just because some of the products have not been proven to be safe for children.
That's interesting. I mean, a lot of people really wouldn't even think about the spoon.
Exactly.
And so you know, we're sharing some knowledge here that, you know, oh, wow, you know, and you're right. Everybody's spoon is not going to be the same size. And then that is a key in that you give the exact dosage to that child, especially children under the age of 5 or 6. You know, when
exactly.
you have infants and what have you, That's critical, I think.
And it leads to overdosage and toxicity. You know, there's been a lot of children harmed, not because the parent wants to harm the child.
Right.
But again, if we're not taught, hey, let's get a real teaspoon. Let's go to the store and buy a doser so that I can measure out the dose. Let me read the instructions so that I know if my child, take for example, Allie, if you have a child who may be larger than an average child,
then that
dose for an average child may not be adequate for your child. And then flip it, if you take a child who's way smaller than the average child, then the dose that's recommended for that average child could be toxic to your underweighted child.
Interesting. Things that make you say, Let me ask you this. How are prescription meds and over-the-counter medicine regulated in this country?
Well, the FDA regulates prescription meds and over-the-counter meds, as well as herbal supplements and dietary supplements.
Okay.
So the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act was really implemented to show that a drug has to be proven safe. But then there were amendments to that law where the drug actually had to be not only proven safe, but also effective. You know, and then, I mean, it's kind of in-depth, but that's really the legal procedures to get a product on the market. And then, of course, the product goes through a drug approval process. And then there's various stages of the drug approval process to show safety and efficacy, and then to pinpoint what dose is the most effective. And then once the drug is approved and it's put on the market, it still undergoes post-marketing studies. And basically, like, say, for example, if a drug X is approved tomorrow and the pharmaceutical company launches that medication, now it's available at your pharmacy. Well, as pharmacy starts dispensing that medication to a larger population of people, a lot of times you will receive calls. When I worked for the drug industry, we used to do drug safety and surveillance for some companies.
Okay.
And we would be the 1-800 number for some of these companies. So, for example, if a person calls the drug company and say, hey, I wonder, I've been taking your medication, and I'm wondering if that medication could cause X, Y, and Z. And it is the responsibility of the pharmaceutical company to always document those type of calls. Whether it's related or not, it's captured. And so this information is funneled back into the FDA, and they're reviewing these reports. And this is how medications that has been approved get removed from the market because of safety issues.
There's always
things in place to serve the medications even once they've been approved. So that if there's safety issues, it is removed. And we've seen a lot of removals from the market based on, you know, once it's in a larger population, you really can see what's really going on with the medication versus a controlled clinical study that may be randomized. You might have a placebo, you know, and then that way it's a lot more controlled versus broad population. Drug X is out seeing millions of people. Then you really can get the understanding of safety issues with those products. Well, I was also going to say, like with dietary supplements, even though the FDA has processes in place to put them on the market, dietary supplements, which herbal products fall under, do not have to be proven safe or effective. And this is the part that people don't understand. Just because I go to an herbal shop and I buy a medication, the FDA isn't looking at the sterility. They're not looking at the potency of those products. And even though there's been an established list of herbal products that have medicinal uses,
mm-hmm.
a company can kind of piggyback on, hey, like garlic. Garlic can be used as a antibacterial.
Mm-hmm.
It can be used to help with blood pressure.
Right.
It could be used to help with cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a company say, ooh, I'm going to put out my garlic product. Now, what they cannot do is make claims that it cures or it treats a disease.
Mm-hmm.
However, what they do, like the case of cranberry, so mm-hmm. taking cranberry extract helps changes the urine pH so that if you're prone for urinary tract infections,
mm-hmm.
changing the acidity in your bladder can help prevent the urinary bladder infections.
Okay.
Now, makers of cranberry extract can't say it treats bladder infections, but it can say that it treats the urine pH.
Ah, so it's kind of how you say it, how they word it.
Exactly. And see, the only way that the FDA can come and mind the dietary supplements and the herbal products is if they're making false claims. And then also if there's some sort of issue with that product.
Gotcha. Wow, that's interesting. That's very interesting. And
it's scary, Allie.
Yes, and that leads me to my next question. What are the dangers of mixing prescription meds with over-the-counter and herbal products?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, for me to tell you that herbal products aren't regulated like a pharmaceutical product, your radar goes up immediately because
mm-hmm.
the question is what's really in that product. Now,
right.
there are some awesome companies that will go through the standards because there's USP standards that shows what part of the plant extract has the medicinal effects. And
okay.
there are some really awesome herbal companies that adhere to those standards.
Okay.
And then you have companies that won't adhere to that. But even if they adhere or they don't adhere, you have a pharmaceutical, okay,
mm-hmm.
that may treat one thing. And
right.
then you start taking different herbal medications. First off, medications are cleared in the body through different pathways.
Mm-hmm.
Too complicated to talk about.
Right.
But these pathways are very important because that is where drugs interact. So say, for example, if a drug is cleared by this pathway A and you're taking a herbal product that blocks pathway A.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so the drug mm-hmm. needs pathway A to clear the body.
Right.
And that herbal product blocks it. So that
mm.
means you're going to have higher concentrations of that drug.
Mm.
And it's going to take a longer time for that concentration to leave your body.
Yes. Oh,
so that
wow.
in itself sets you up for some serious side effects.
Mm.
And then, you know, there's also, we see this a lot when patients go out of the country and they travel
mm-hmm.
to, like, Asia or Africa, and they come back with those products. And say, for example, if a patient has had cardiac issues or have had a heart attack in the past, well, there's
mm-hmm.
some medications that the patient is on to help keep that blood thin so there's no clots, so that there's no stroke or
mm-hmm.
things like that. Well, there's some herbal products that can thin your blood. So
mm.
if you are taking the pharmaceutical and the herbal or the dietary supplement that may have an herbal substance in it, then you are at a greater risk of bleeding.
Wow. Okay. Interesting.
And I can go on and on and on, you know, but I think the simplest way is that before a person takes anything,
mm-hmm.
they need to really go seek out their pharmacist and ask, okay, I'm taking X, Y, and Z. Is there a problem with these medications? Because, quite frankly, you can go to one doctor, see a complete different doctor, and maybe not even talk about the meds that you got from the first doctor, and those medications may interact.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. That's so interesting. You've opened up a floodgate.
And ladies, this is such a great dialogue, and it's triggered a question from me.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, very quickly before we take a quick break. What's the dangers of still taking expired medications?
I was just thinking that too, Mel D.
My. Okay.
I was thinking that too.
Yes.
One of my pet peeves, oh my gosh, and you know, I'm putting my mom under the bus. My mom will store medication until kingdom come is what I say. And usually when I go visit, the first thing I do is I go to her medicines. And I throw out all of her expired medications. Because here's the thing. The Army did a study some years ago looking at the potency of expired medications. And they found that the potency is so variable. So one of the dangers is you're taking a medication that really just isn't going to work because the potency of it has decreased. The other thing is once a drug is manufactured, there are certain storage requirements of that medication. So once it leaves the pharmacy and the stock bottle that it came from the manufacturer in, and it goes into those little amber bottles that you get, and you take it home, well, guess what? What if you leave it in your car for a week and it's the middle of the summer and you totally forget about it? So now you've already compromised the potency of and the sterility of that medication by exposing it to an environment that it was never meant to be exposed to. And that's the same thing that comes with expired meds. You know, again, I won't even say this online because I don't want no one quote me on this. Personally, when they expire, I get rid of them.
Right. And you know what? That leads me, that you brought up a really valid and great point, Melody, because I was thinking that, too. I was like, I have to remember to ask her that. I have to remember to ask her that. But I also want to make a point because I have a child who has to have an EpiPen. They do expire, parents. They're usually good for 1 year, then you got to get it refilled.
Not only that, asthmatics with inhalers, you've got to check those dates. You go into an asthma attack and your inhaler has expired, that could be crucial and critical.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to say this because I was so new to the whole EpiPen situation. I actually didn't realize that it expired. And I was like, after I realized, I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. Thank God my son didn't have any kind of an episode where he needed it. And from that point on, I'm on it, you know. I know when it's time to get a refill on his EpiPen. But I just wanted to make that point because, you know, I know there are a lot of listeners who have small children who have allergies and who need that, you know, could be a life and death situation. Now, let me ask you, though, Dr. Michelle, what can be the danger of someone using something like an EpiPen that has expired, and you may have expounded on this, but I wanted to kind of reiterate it again.
Well, one of the dangers is it's not going to work.
Okay.
And then the other danger is that now it may have properties in it that could be dangerous. You know, but to also expound on a tip that parents should know, whenever you're picking up a prescription from the pharmacy, and it's something that is still in the original box or container, before you walk away from the pharmacy, just look at the expiration date.
Right.
Look at the expiration date.
Right.
You have that right. It's not left the pharmacy because, you know, it's pharmacy law that once you leave the pharmacy window, you can be walking through the store. They're not going to accept that medication back.
Really?
But if you're at, because it is against the law to return a medication to a pharmacy once you've walked away from the counter. Because, you know, with the Tylenol scare, with the poisoning, we just can't take it back into the pharmacy.
That's interesting.
There's nothing wrong with you looking at the expiration date.
Oh, that's very good information. I bet a lot of people didn't know that.
No, and if that medication expires within 6 months, make them give you another one.
Oh, good. Good piece of advice. So you're saying within 6 months, they need to give you one that's, what do you think
with
is
a longer expiration.
Gotcha.
Yep.
That's,
I mean,
very
because
good information.
See, the thing is, pharmacies should be reviewing their stock and returning anything with less than a six-month window.
Ooh, very
good. So you shouldn't accept anything with less than 6 months.
Wow.
Of an expiration date, especially something like an EpiPen or, you know, something that's in a box, something that's
right.
not been touched, not been opened. If you can see an expiration date and it is really soon, you don't want to take it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, let me ask you, if you find that you have come across a pharmacy that's giving you something that is less than 6 months, do you think that that's indication that there's a problem at that pharmacy? Is there a way that you can report that kind of a situation?
Well, I can't say that that's a problem with the pharmacy per se. I can say that sometimes, you know, there are processes in place where those medications should be turned over often. You know, because, again, just for the sake of finances, if I have ordered a product in and it's not moving, I want to send it back so I can get my money. And
right.
you have a window where that medication can be sent back to the wholesaler so that you won't incur the cost of loss. So
okay.
with that being said, there are processes. But,
okay.
you know, we're dealing with human error as
right,
well.
Right.
Just
true.
Because it happens doesn't mean it's a bad pharmacy or a bad pharmacist.
Okay.
Stuff happens sometimes. Now, if it's a consistent thing, definitely
yeah.
got a problem. Yeah.
Right. You might need to find a new pharmacy
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yes.
Let me ask you this, and we're getting ready to take a short break, as Mel D mentioned, but I wanted to ask you this before we go to a break. If you could share with our listeners a particular key point of concern or interest regarding the correct use of pharmaceuticals, what would that be?
Ask questions. As a consumer, it is your right and it's your responsibility to ask questions. Anything that you're going to ingest in your body, you want to be informed.
Right.
You don't want to just swallow something just because. You want to know what should you expect, how should you take it, what type of side effects, how soon will it start working? Ask questions.
Right.
Gotcha. And, you know, unfortunately, having worked in pharmacy probably 20 years now, not enough people ask questions.
You're right. You're probably right. And I think part of that goes to the fact that, okay, well, my doctor, you know,
exactly.
told me this, this, and that. And, you know, so they don't question anything.
Exactly.
But just because it was prescribed doesn't mean you don't ask the question.
Yes, and you know, this may cause controversy, but I'm going to say it because people need to know. Mm-hmm. When it comes to education of pharmacy, physicians, PAs, nurse practitioners, they get a thimbleful of education on them. Now,
wow.
great doctors keep exploring different pharmaceuticals that are being approved and how they work and things like that.
Right.
But in their training, it's really a small amount. And if I told you how small, you probably have callers right now just popping off on the phone. But it is very small. But I say that to say, you know, that's why you have pharmacists to dispense the medication.
Mm.
Ask the questions. That's what pharmacists are there for, whether they want to do it or not, that is their responsibility.
Right.
And they
wow.
should want to do it because we would want everyone to safely use medication to get the expected result.
Absolutely. Wow. Oof. You have really, really given us a lot of food for thought tonight. You've taught me some things that I didn't know, and I know that our listeners have been engaged in this conversation and glued to their computer, telephone, however they're listening, because I'm certainly engaged. But at this time, we're going to kind of wind down and take a short station break. And when we come back, I hope we have a couple of callers, at least one. If not, we'll engage in further conversation about our topic tonight. So if you want to call in and share with us tonight, or if you want to address a question to Dr. Michelle, you can reach us at 347 324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with Allie and Mel D, and our special guest tonight, Dr. Michelle Butler. Please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through.
Just joining in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There Is Life After Layoff with our host, Allie, as she shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. We want to take a minute to thank all of our listeners, sponsors, and partners, because without their help and without their continued support, this broadcast would not be made possible. We have an exciting show. Please call in and ask any questions you may want of our special guest. And so now we tune back in to There's Life After Layoff with Allie with our guest, Dr. Michelle Butler.
All right, we are back. And thank you, Mel D. If you're just joining us again, we welcome you. And you are listening to There's Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie, and along with my regular co-host, Doc, we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. You can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com, and we're also on Twitter. You can find me tweeting at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. So please follow us on Twitter. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation or to ask a question, make a comment, you can reach us at 347-324-5246. And make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. Now, this is one of our favorite times in the show. I hope we have a caller. Mel D, do we have a caller tonight? Or do we?
Well,
are we going to?
Well,
go ahead.
We had a caller. They were so diligent and patient and was holding on. Right now, I have not pressed 1, but if they do want to go ahead and press 1, we are be able to take their call on air. Other than that, we have people in listening mode only. Okay, here's our caller.
Good.
Hold
good.
On.
Ward.
Hello.
Yes, if your number ends in 226, you are on air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I have a question for Dr. Michelle Butler.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Yes, about the EpiPen. I was watching the commercial about that. There's only one place they're saying that you should give injection for the with the EpiPen for children who have allergy. Can you explain why it's important not to put it in the vein or the arms or anything? Why is it that you use the EpiPen on the outside of the thigh only?
That's a great
okay.
question.
That is a great question. The delivery system for that particular medication, it's called an IM or intramuscular injection. So the circulatory system kind of gets it into the body a lot faster.
Okay.
So I think that's the simplest way I can explain it. Certain medications can be done subcutaneously, intravenous, which would be IV, but that particular medication is absorbed better intramuscularly.
Okay.
So it needs the thigh.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For calling in.
Great question.
Absolutely. And I understand that because with the EpiPen itself, you're trying to, with my son's situation, he's highly allergic to peanuts, and it's very serious. And so, you know, you want it to get into the system as quickly as possible because their throats are closing up, they can't breathe,
exactly.
And, you know, it could be a matter of life and death. So you know, you wanted to get into their system as fast as possible. So that was a great question.
And, you know, not only that, Allie, you know, having the availability of the PSI as a person, child, or adult is having an allergic response. And if that response is turning anaphylactically where they're having a swollen mouth, swollen mm-hmm. throat, swollen tongue, you know, they're going to be moving and they're going to be anxious, and being able to deliver it any other way than just through their pants even, you know, mm-hmm. is really not going to work. So you want to immediately have a way to get it into the system, even if the child is fighting or moving or what have you, and
right.
that has been the best mode for delivery.
Wow. Again, you probably, that caller probably opened up something for other listeners tonight, you know, that they hadn't given much thought about. But so that was a great, great question. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Michelle, and I love the information that you provided for us tonight. But as we get ready to close out this segment, I wanted you to impart on our listeners some important advice, words of wisdom, or your final comments related to our topic tonight that you would really want them to walk away from the table. I know you've mentioned about asking questions, but is there some other piece of information that you want our listeners to know about, you know, the proper use of pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, you know, when I was listening to you guys open up the show and you were talking about, you know, people have to do what they're most comfortable with.
Right.
And even though I'm a pharmacist and even though, you know, I have the legal license to dispense pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. you know, you have to really evaluate the situation that you're being treated for. And you have to ask yourself, am I going to adhere to the terms of it? You know, because, you know, some medications, say for blood pressure or high cholesterol, some of those medications you have to take continuously. You cannot stop taking them just because you feel better. Some of them you have to continue to take. And if you stop just because you don't want to take them anymore, a lot of times your blood pressure can rise mm-hmm. even higher, or your cholesterol can rise even higher than you started. So, you know, ask questions, but then also really reflect inwardly and say, what else is there available? You know, like mm-hmm. a person newly diagnosed with hypertension, there's lifestyle modifications that
right.
can be put in place where you would never even need medication.
Mm.
And you have to be willing to make those type of decisions.
Okay.
You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people think, oh, I'll just take a pill and I'm not going to do any of the lifestyle modifications.
Wow.
It all goes hand in hand. It really does.
Yes, ma'am.
If you're overweight, you've got diabetes, you have hypertension, lose weight. That
right.
is going to be the best thing that's going to help you manage that disease to where you wouldn't even need medications if you ate the right things and you increased in physical activity.
That is good stuff right there. And, you know, that leads me into something that I came across while I was preparing for this show. It talked about not only making that right choice, and if you decide, like I, you know, I mentioned, and like you just mentioned, being comfortable with the lifestyle choice or being comfortable with the holistic approach, whether or not it be that or traditional Western medicine, understand and know, I want to always relate this to the topic, is the Word of God plays a role in your being able to heal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Healing is God's will for our lives. You know, stand on His Word and release your faith for healing, okay? And don't just rely on, like you said, just taking a pill, because it could be just as simple, like you said, changing your diet.
Yes.
How about you take the Word of God like you take a pill? Let's get that on the inside of you and get that faith working.
Ooh, I like
saying,
that, Allie.
Let that work. Get that, dissolve that in your heart, you know, and let that be your medicine, you know, because there, and Doc is going to really like this, because I actually found a couple of scriptures that I want to kind of leave people with tonight on this segment, is Proverbs 4, 20 through 23, and it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body." Okay? Meditate on his word. It can help you. And also Exodus 15:26, where he said, "If you listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Okay, so I wanted to leave that with our listeners tonight, and I want to take this time to say thank you on behalf of There's Life After Layoff Radio to our special guest tonight, Dr. Michelle Butler. You have given us so much to think about and about the dangers of using pharmaceuticals and, you know, herbal supplements for that matter. Thank you so much. And I hope that all of our listeners were taking notes. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Michelle. You are welcome back anytime. And I think we need to have you back.
Thank you so much. Anytime you need me, just call me.
Okay. Thank you so much. Now, normally at this time, we would be getting ready to close out the show. But as I announced earlier, this is an extended version of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. So please stick around, and immediately after we take a short break, Mel D and I will be joined by our very own doc, and as well as Audrey Thomas, who is the founder and CEO of the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. And we will be joined by them as we get ready to share with you a special interview with Bishop T.D. Jakes. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio. Please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you.
Welcome back. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio Presents There's Life After Layoff. We are so excited to extend tonight's show to the 8:30 hour because we have our doc, who is going to be part of this segment, along with a special guest, Audrey Thomas, CEO of the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. So, without further ado, please join me in a virtual applause as I welcome Doc, as she joins us on this segment, along with also Ms. Audrey Thomas. Doc, welcome.
Thank you. How are you?
Oh, we are doing wonderful. We had a wonderful first segment, and
yes.
We are really looking forward to this special segment with Audrey Thomas in the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. Allie, I know we have all been talking, and we're really excited as the show and the radio station partners with organizations that join in us in our Christian walk and join in us with us educating people as they learn more about their faith walk. And,
absolutely.
Yes, and one of that is, you know, the role of media. And I know we had several shows talking about media and faith. And I know you both, Doc and Allie, you both have some comments on that. And before I bring Ms. Thomas on air, I just wanted to give you both an opportunity to share your thoughts on this new partnership with Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival.
Absolutely. Hey, Doc, how are you doing?
Hi, Allie. How are you?
I'm great. I think I would love if you could lead into talking about, before I make my comments, about the importance of protecting what we let into our ear gate and eye gate.
Oh, great. I sure would like to start with that. And I know, especially for our continuous listeners, they've heard us often talk about how important it is for us
to protect our different gates, as you stated, our ear gate, our eye gate, and even our mouth gate, those different openings. And as I was doing research on gates, from a physical standpoint, when we think about a gate or a fence, we think about a huge door or a huge protection, a blockage that's installed to keep people from entering into a particular place.
Right.
Likewise, we have spiritual gates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to quote a scripture that basically illustrates that. Think about when Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it."
Wow.
And the gate that Jesus talked about was the gates of hell that he was referring to was the powers and the principalities. So when he built his church, he was saying that those powers and principalities that come from the gate of hell will not be able to prevail or enter into it. Likewise, again, when we talk about from a spiritual aspect, we have spiritual gates,
right,
our eyes, our ears, and we must guard those. That's what we watch,
right,
what we listen to, the things that we have in our environment, and this is something that's important that we don't think of. Think about when you travel out of town or you travel places and you try to bring things back into your home, you have to be careful and guard all of those gates. Something alluding back to the TV, something that I think is very important, and many people don't understand this. Oftentimes you have individuals that keep the television on as they sleep at night, and they feel like it's nothing is penetrating or entering into their gates. However, when we're asleep, our mind is still at a subconscious state.
Right.
And it's at a trance state. And that's the place, our subconscious mind is where we hold all our experiences of our lifetime. And what am I saying? Even though we are asleep, again, our mind is still awake. And our subconscious mind is being fed that information that's coming out of those airwaves and those television waves.
Wow.
And this could be positive or negative. So what's important is that we make sure anything that's entering into any of these gates, that they are positive things.
Wow, that's good stuff, Doc.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And I wanted you to lead off by saying that because I know I've talked about this in past shows. I've made, as a parent, a conscious choice to monitor. My husband and I both have made this choice to monitor and protect the ear gate, eye gate, and mouth gate of our children. I have young children. And so it is very important that we pay attention to what they're listening to, what they're watching on TV, and how they speak and what comes out of their mouth, and letting them know. You know, because at the ages that they're at, they're not old enough to make those choices. They're not discerning yet and making those decisions on what is right and what is wrong. So we have made a choice, conscious choice as parents to make sure that we monitor. So that's why I am so, so excited about our partnership with the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival, and especially about the new K rating that they have developed. And, you know, I mentioned this on a previous show in finding balance in my life. Our family has started having, you know, family movie night once a week, which is usually on a Friday evening or a Saturday. Well, since starting that, I'm going to tell you, Doc, it has been so difficult finding family-friendly movies that we can all watch. You know, and most of the times you have to actually do a whole lot of research and or actually watch the movie first before you could decide whether or not you're going to let your kids watch it.
Right, exactly.
So when I heard about the new K rating and saw the different categories that it was based on, I said to myself, finally, a rating that fits my family's needs to a T. And I say that because the way they break it down, the rating down, they actually have different categories – one for a toddler, which is geared toward, you know, my five-year-old. It's perfect. So if it has that kind of a rating, I know that he's going to be able to watch it, where it's going to be exposing toddlers to, you know, colorful music, creative educational images. Then they have a category for children, which is perfect for my 11-year-old. And then there's also the rating for teens. And my daughter, oh, my gosh, I'm not ready for this yet, but she will be a teenager soon. In a couple of years, they also have a category for her and her age group. And then they have, of course, the mature audiences category for adults. But what is so great about this new K rating is that the K rating, if you want your film to be K rated, it prohibits extreme heavy violence, profanity, and sexually explicit content. How great is that? We have been waiting for this.
Yes.
This is awesome.
Yes.
Long overdue.
Long overdue. And ladies, we have been joined by the CEO and the founder of the K rating, Ms. Audrey Thomas. So, Ms. Thomas, you're on air.
Yes.
We want to welcome
you.
And we
Thank
would
you.
Love for you to take it from here and kind of lead into the promo for this wonderful honor we have to air and share with our listeners the interview with the one and only Bishop T.D. Jakes. So, Ms. Thomas, take it away.
Okay. Well, I do want to say thank you for allowing me to be on here, and I would like to thank the host for explaining our K rating. I think that was fantastic. And
you're
what
welcome.
You will hear in the next few minutes, I actually presented this K rating to Bishop T.D. Jakes, and so you will be hearing his feedback, and I think it's so ironic in the timing for this right now when it's needed. And it's just a blessing that it actually came from the Holy Spirit, and we took it and ran with it and developed it for everyone to have an opportunity to understand what we mean by K-rated. We're talking about kingdom-rated films that's going to fit four different categories. So you let me know when you're ready for TDJ so we can continue on this conversation because it's totally awesome.
It is. Well, without further ado, if everyone want to, again, grab your pad and your journal or your pen and join us on this journey and enjoy this interview with the Honorable, and I'm saying the Honorable, Bishop T.D. Jakes. And please bear with us.
Bishop Jakes.
Bishop Jakes. How are you? This
how
is Audrey
you?
Thomas, the Kingdom Wit.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so very much for allowing us to interview you today.
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
Listen, what we have is Kingdomwood Pastor is actually on the line with us, Pastor Dexter Kilgore. Do you mind that he would go ahead and just give us a quick prayer before we get started?
Go right ahead.
Kind Father, we come before you. We thank you. We honor you for allowing us to have the privilege of serving with you. And God, as we come before you today to have this interview with Bishop Jackson, I thank you in advance the words that you will share through him and the questions that we would have for him, that we will partner together with you, that the kingdom of God is glorified from this work through Christian film. This is in Jesus Christ's name we do pray and we do believe. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you very much, Pastor Kilgore. I really appreciate that. And again, I'm Audrey Thomas, but we actually have Joe Williams on the line with us, and he's the COO of Kingdomwood, and Kamaya, he's the social media engineer for Kingdomwood. So they'll be online and maybe can throw a question or two out while we keep this going. Is that okay with you?
That's fine. We're just on a kind of short time frame.
Okay.
I've got two more after I get off to this one.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead. The first question that we have, and is what we did is pulled a couple of questions from our audience at Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. The one that stuck out very well was, if you would share the definition of faith-based films, and does Hollywood really believe in the definition?
Well, let's be clear. Hollywood is a business. It's not a belief system. It's a business. And as a business, Hollywood is focused on supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And I think what is happening in Hollywood currently is that they're beginning to understand that there is a demand for this kind of content. And but they're not into spreading the message. There is the profits.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as that they know that there is a demand for this kind of content, that they begin to explore ways that they can provide that kind of content. I would love to say that they just embrace the philosophy of faith, but because it is a for-profit business, I know the bottom line is always revenue.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. I mean, I believe that because it's actually showing that that's what they're interested in, is the bottom line and the dollar bill. But tell me this, would you be supportive of a kingdom-rated system? Just like right now, Hollywood is rating our films under the MPAA, but would you be supportive of supporting a kingdom-rated system?
That's a very interesting question. I do know that there are some outlets that rate films for how faith-based they are and so forth and so on. I know Christianity Today does some rating system like that, and I'm certainly not opposed to that. I think any way that helps people to better understand what kind of experience they're going to have when they go into the theater is a positive thing.
We truly believe that here at Kingdomwood, and that's how we've actually developed the K-rated system for. We can share with our audience, parents and teens and adults, what type of films will they be shown at the theaters and so on. And as our independent filmmakers is taking that on, it's something that we want to grow and just make sure that it's actually being supported properly.
So, that's excellent.
Yeah.
This is Joe Williams, COO, and you pretty much answered the question that I had earlier about what Hollywood thought about some of the independents. But I had another one. What advice would you give such independent filmmakers who are out trying to, ascertain and gain a name now today? And what would you tell them along with some of the more experienced filmmakers?
Well, I think one of the things that I have learned over the years is most people who are really interested in making films do it from an artistic basis. They have a passion for a message or a story that they want to deliver, and they start in from the creative aspect. I would say to them that the better methodology is to see it as a business, because it is, and to set up a business plan with some investors behind you to produce a story without people controlling the way the story is told. And then to release an independent film, there's a system there. But most people struggle to set the business plan in place, and then they end up being vulnerable to financiers. And there's a rule in Hollywood. It's called the golden rule. It says he who has the gold makes the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And at the point that you have to get outside funding, then they start to dictate your content in some way, and it becomes a lot more difficult to get the message conveyed that you really want.
That is interesting. Now, can you tell me, now, will this information be at MegaFest next month or the end of this month?
Absolutely. I mean, this is a unique opportunity, not only to come out and see all of the various films that we have and the various ways in which faith intersects with film or family-friendly. Some of them have historical value, like our Winnie Mandela film is more about history and how Winnie met Mandela and how they fell in love during the apartheid. But the fringe benefit is William Morris Agency, top agency, one of the top agencies in Hollywood, is going to be there. Sony Pictures is going to be there. Fox Pictures is going to be there. A whole laundry list of directors and producers who can give you real tangible, real information that you can use if you want to get into this kind of business, whether you're an actor, a screenwriter, or director, or what have you.
That is awesome. And you know what? I really appreciate that information, because what we have done here at Kingdomwood is created a Kingdomwood Institute, Film Institute, and we're looking for that type of information. So taking that back to our audience and letting them know that this is type of information going to be provided at MegaFest, which is going to be very valuable for our school.
Yeah, some of the top people to get things done are going to be there. They're going to be teaching. They're going to be on panel discussions. And you'll get accurate, real information. One of the great problems in the faith film industry is to get accurate information. A lot, because it is faith film, a lot of times it is more philosophical information, how right it is, how good it is to do things for Christ. And all of that's good, but when you get ready to do it, what you really need to know is what is the process, what are the budgets likely to be, how can you do a low-budget film in a qualitative way, how to market that film, what is the business structure of that film. And I found out once you get the business in place, then turn all your energies on the creative, the storyline, the script, the editing, all of that becomes beautiful. But if you don't get the business right, you can produce a wonderful film that you can't get off of your garage, out of your garage.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's very valuable.
I agree with that. I was just curious, if you will, if Kingdom would have the opportunity to come down to MegaFest and be a part of just this major happening, would we have the opportunity to meet someone of your stature and be able to shake hands and say what an incredible job we think that you're doing and how you continue to uplift what we're doing, even in our own film festival?
Well, first of all, I appreciate anybody who's out there trying to infiltrate this culture through all the vehicles that you're doing. I am going to visit the film festival, but I'm also preaching for Woman Art Loose and for Bad Power, and I'm going to be all over the place. So just getting the timing right, yeah, it's really going to be quite a stress. We have been working on this event for literally, believe it or not, 2 years.
Oh, my. That's
yeah,
amazing.
2 years. And we have people coming from as far away as Japan to Australia. Mm-hmm. To be at this event. We're also hosting Oprah's Life Class, and we've got thousands and thousands of people there. So getting the timing right that you were at the festival at the time that I came to would be my only challenge. But I've welcomed your input and your support, and when I am less pulled apart, I would love to learn more about your organization and to shake hands and talk with you in whatever way that I could.
That is that would be great. Well, we plan on being there. Believe me, we're actually probably coming to cover your MegaFest along with all the other opportunities. And Kanaya, she is just an engineer at heart to make sure we get the word out and do our part about the MegaFest and the Family and Faith-Based Film Festival.
Let me say something to you that I think might help to delineate. There are two schools of thought about faith films today, and one of those schools of thought center around Christians making movies by Christians for Christians, like Fireproof and things like that have been trailblazers in doing those overtly Christian movies that are really marketed to the church and to the faith-based community. That's one track. The other track is Christians making movies that go mainstream and that affect the culture, and they are entertaining, but they also have a faith element in them through which you can introduce faith conversations back into mainstream audiences, and that's another track. I think there's a place for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very important thing for each one of your listeners or those that are supportive of you to contemplate which track fits best for them. Or maybe it's a mixture of the two. I would say a movie like Jumpin' the Broom or Sparkle that was mainstream but had faith elements in it are designed so that faith can be brought up in the conversation of mainstream America, whereas other types of movies who also welcome secular viewers might do it. They are so faith-based that secular people have a tendency to look at it and say, this is not for me, this is for Christians. And to those of you who don't want to just preach to the choir and you want to get a chance to really go into all the world, we have to find entertaining ways to infiltrate the entertainment industries because, quite frankly, there are more people sitting in theaters on Friday night than there are pews on Sunday morning.
That is so true.
Amen.
And by you mentioning that, so there is a difference from faith-based versus family-friendly films. There's a two different. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, because there are many things that might be family-friendly that might not have one shred of faith in it at all. Mm-hmm. That is, the family-friendly just means that it's not offensive to families, and that has flexibility in it because some people are offended by almost everything.
That's true.
So, but the family-friendly says that this should be a kind of movie that you could take young people to today and not be offended. Faith-based says that it has a faith element, it has some God content into it, and that may or may not mean that it might not have radical material. For example, Woman of the Art Loose was a faith-based film, but it that dealt with sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, though it was faith-based, it might not be something that you want an 11-year-old to see.
Exactly.
And so finding a way to the Passion of the Christ was rated R, and it was the crucifixion. When you think about the parable, this is something that I tell people today, that if the parables that Jesus told were put on screen, how would you rate them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when you start talking about stories that are being put on screen, they fall into different categories based on content, whether you're doing the story with the prodigal son who spent all of his finances and with harlots and ended up with nothing. If you were to put that on screen, what would that look like?
Exactly.
Or the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, if you were to put that on screen, how would you rate that? So when you start talking about faith, there's a whole lot of things to be considered when you start talking about faith-based
people. I totally agree, and that's where Kingdomhood is. It's exactly what you just mentioned, and that's why we have the four categories for rating faith-based films and constantly have this discussion. So what you just mentioned is very valuable for us, and we really appreciate you giving that information. I only have one little quick question, and this is pertaining to filmmakers, independent filmmakers versus the more experienced filmmakers. What would you tell someone that's just getting started versus the ones that's already developed, this filmmaker that's already ready to go?
You know, if you're just getting started, and depending on where you want to go, if you can be an apprentice with somebody who does it all the time in any kind of way, I'm a great believer in mentoring. And whenever you see anybody doing something you want to do, if you get a chance to fix them coffee in the morning, to be in the room where the conversations are had, to find the lingo, to learn on that level is a great opportunity. Secondly, social media has created an opportunity that you don't have to make a film for you to make a 3-minute entertaining, 5-minute powerful music video, other types of video, other types of content to practice your craft. I saw recently a guy had done a story bid for a novel, and it was just a 3-minute story bid for a novel that was very, very impressive, and he got on our radar because of something that he tweeted out that we looked at and thought his work was impressive. So social media has leveled the playing floor that you don't have to be wealthy or well-known in order to get somebody's attention.
That is amazing, and that is great to hear. And I'm sure we're going to be able to play this back for a lot of our attendees to listen to your feedback. And I know I really appreciate it, Bishop. I really do.
Thank you for the opportunity. I enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much, and hopefully we will see you.
Yes, see you at the Mega Fest.
See you at the Mega Fest. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Audrey, we want to first thank you so much for selecting Atlanta Life Radio as your media partner. And how can, you know, the theme of the show is There is Life After Layoff. And for many, their passion is to become that filmmaker or to become that actor or to produce a musical score for a film. How can our listeners learn more about the Kingdomhood Film Institute and about the festival that's coming?
Well, actually, everyone can visit our website. It's a brand new website. It's kingdomwood.com that you can get really abundance of information. But to focus directly on filmmakers who's interested in making faith-based films is to visit our Kingdomhood Film Institute. And there's a link on our website where you can get more information, you can become a member, and you can also start taking our classes once we get them all scheduled. But the first thing we want you to do is come under our wing where you can learn from us. Just as Bishop mentioned, that there's mentorship, and we also is following that lead because you have to follow the greatness. And he gave so many great information, and that's basically exactly what we're going to be doing at the Kingdomhood Film Institute. It's teaching people how to reach, teach, and inspire, learn what it takes to make a film from the beginning to the end.
Wonderful. Well, Allie and Doc, do y'all have any closing remarks for Ms. Thomas?
Ms. Thomas, thank you so much. This is Allie. Thank you for what you're doing, and it means so much to me as a parent that we have someone in a company with a vision to really pay attention to what we are allowing our children to, you know, take in and listen to. There's so much out here, and so thank you so much for your work with the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. It really does go a long way with a lot of families, especially mine.
Well, I really appreciate it, and hope this really gets out to the listeners that we welcome more independent filmmakers to start making these films for toddlers, for the teens, for adults. It's time. We need more of that. Because right now, it's not a balance. But if we can raise up filmmakers to start creating these films and for them to start thinking more of each other and then themselves, we can have a lot of information, positive information can go out on film that's going to make a difference in our world.
Ms. Thomas, I would like to echo Allie's sentiment of saying thank you, and even what you just stated. I actually was recently engaged in a conversation with two aunts. One stated that for a long time she was watching a particular soap opera, but why she no longer watches it is because she saw two men taking a bath. Mm. And another aunt stated that, well, that's the time that we're living in. And so I made the comment, so do we just accept that or do we fight against it? So as you stated, I want to raise the bar and say that the time and the harvest is ripe for people that can create positive down-home films, television show, and the skies are the limit because there are people that no longer say they want to compromise.
Thank you. No, you're welcome. I see that all the time, and it's not the norm. Mm-hmm. It is not the norm. And I think if we don't take a stand right now and do something and bring our people back, because right now they are followers. Well, we have to stand as leaders. We have to stand as leaders and take a stand. And as long as we're covered by the Holy Spirit, that we can make a difference. And as long as He's with us, we can make a difference, and our voices will be heard.
Right.
Amen. Amen for that.
Well, ladies, we've come to the end of our hour special segment. Ms. Thomas, again, a world of thanks for sharing the interview with Bishop T.D. Jakes with our listening audience. We look forward to additional interviews being aired on our radio station. And at this time, Allie, you want to close us out?
Absolutely.
Oh, don't forget about the White Party fundraiser tomorrow.
Oh, yes,
I mean,
please,
Thursday.
Yes.
That's going to be
Thursday, yes. Go ahead, Ms. Thomas.
Okay,
yes,
all right,
very
I'm sorry. Well, what Kingwood Christian Film Festival is doing, we are actually having an all-white. It is white and wine fundraiser. This is the type of wine that Jesus drinks. And it's, believe me, that's what it is, and it's a very small portion, but it's a fundraiser for our film festival. Because of the things that we're going to be doing, we are asking everyone to come out Thursday. You can find that information on our website and dress in all white. There's going to be prizes and contests, so you'll be able to have a good time with fellowshipping and talk more about films. There's filmmakers, directors, producers. Everyone is invited. So please check our website under Kingdomwood White and Wine Party for Thursday evening.
And thank you so much for allowing me to be in the promotional ad.
Yes, you are. Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Thomas. Okay, Allie?
Yes, I want to take this time to, again, extend a thank you to all of our special guests tonight, for pharmacist Dr. Michelle Butler, and, of course, to Ms. Audrey Thomas for joining us from the Kingdomwood Christian Film Festival. And please, we also urge you to continue to check out our family member, Palmer Williams Jr. And he is the singer of our theme song, Failure Is Not Final. And as we wind down our extended episode, on behalf of myself, Allie, and my regular co-host, Doc, and, of course, our executive producer, Mel D, we thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged, and yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, you know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, you wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in, even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Known has come from you alone.